A major bill working its way through the legislature would reform the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. It's sponsored now by 37 Assembly Republicans and 11 Senate Republicans, and two of the co-sponsors are here to talk about that. Representative Robert Books represents the 60th District from Saukville.
Correct.
And Representative Joe Sanfilippo represents the 15th from New Berlin.
Yes.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
It's an
important bill.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Here's my first question. In the budget year that ended June 30th, DOT spent $2.8 billion. Was some of that wasted, much of it wasted, inefficient? Give me, how bad do you think mismanagement or inefficiency is at our transportation agency?
I'll let you go first.
So I think the audit that was released earlier this year really pointed out exactly what many of us had kind of suspected for a while, is that they just were not using the dollars that they have wisely. And you can see that in whether it's designing jobs, it's not following their own guidelines as far as efficiencies, it's you know, the way they bid, their practices of bidding and things. It just was, it's been a completely poorly managed agency. I'm glad Governor Walker made a change at the helm. Mm-hmm. I think that is desperately needed. And I think we all look forward to working with Secretary Ross. He's been doing a great job so far of looking at what reforms need to be done, but it's going to be a big job.
Well, just a quick follow-up, Joe, before we get to Representative Brooks. Has the mismanagement worsened over the last few years? Have you heard complaints about growing problems in the agency?
I think it's worsened in the extent that the agency has grown just because of their spending is bigger, right? Every budget, they have more and more money to spend. So when you have an efficiency at $1 billion, when you're at $2 billion, you just have more inefficiency. And I think that's really what we have seen. But I really think a lot of this kind of came to fruition under our most recent past secretary, who, you know, may have been a good guy and may have been, you know, even an engineer that was by profession, but just not a very good manager. And he just allowed things to really get out of control over there.
Representative Brooks, what problems have you heard about at the agency?
So I would agree with Joe. I hate to use the word mismanagement. I'll go more inefficient.
Okay.
And maybe looking at different ways of doing things. My history is from running a county and working with DOT on projects. The process is incredibly inefficient. It's not cost effective. There's duplicative services. And I think Joe's bill goes to that when you talk about DOT enumerating projects and not coming back and re-costing out those projects after they've been sitting on a shelf for a decade. You know, so I don't know that that's mismanagement as much as it is just not a focus on the details of the day-to-day operation in pursuing projects like roundabouts when the locals don't even want them. I have a number of projects in my district that the DOT spent millions of dollars looking at, you know, through research and development, and projects the communities don't even want, you know. So part of it is we haven't given DOT all the tools it needs, and that's why I applaud Representative Sanfilippo's bill here, because you can't expect somebody to build you a house when you don't supply them the right tools. And I think by doing prevailing wage and putting in some of these other things gives now Secretary Ross some additional tools to do his job better.
Well, right now, let me get it straight. Let me look for my reference document. DOT builds projects according to design, bid, build, according to the summary.
Right.
Your bill authorizes four different alternatives. And it's their design, build, finance, construction manager, general contractor, fixed price, variable scope. Now, none of us are engineers, but what general new options are you giving DOT in your bill? Joe?
Well, basically, it gives them the flexibility to tailor the complexity or the size of the job and let that dictate what type of a bidding process they're going to use. Wisconsin is one of only five states in the country that does not allow design, build, or these other types of delivery models. We are strictly design, bid, build, which, you know, has its benefits because it's very transparent and very open. The low bidder wins, end of story. But that's not always the best way to go about it. You may be able to get a equal project or even a better quality project by doing things with different design standards and different methods of construction that our system just doesn't allow right
now. Well, a follow-up on that, it intrigues me. Right now, WSDOT is not allowed to use any of these four options that are in your bill?
That's correct.
By statute, prohibited?
That's correct. Statute says that they can only use the method they're using now, which is low bid wins, design bid build, which is, by the way, the slowest and costliest way to construct a project. And I think, again, going back to the audit from this spring, I mean, we've seen projects in there that were taking 8, 10, 15 years in from the time they were originally enumerated till they broke ground on construction. That's ridiculous. And it's no wonder why you can't control your costs, because how can you predict 15 years on down the road, no pun intended, how much something is going to cost you? You know, so you get to one of these other methods, design build, for example, you're going to speed up the whole process because, you know, the department will engineer the job to about 30 or 50% complete. Then a design contractor team takes over from there. You can actually start building that project on the front end while you're still designing the back end. It allows more flexibility, faster turnaround times for changes that may develop in the field. You get your project done faster, which is better for the communities where the construction is in, and in most times you save a significant amount of money.
We have been really surprised at the new cost estimates of some of these projects, and it just, I'm really intrigued. Earlier in the session, you passed a bill, you're the Assistant Assembly Majority Leader,
correct,
passed a bill that said that DOT had to provide updates of revised construction costs, and I thought DOT wasn't doing that? No, Representative?
No, they weren't. You know, and the problem is, that some of my background, again, as I said, on the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission, you're working on 20 and 30-year plans to apply for federal money, and you have to have those plans in place. So there's plans within all of our districts on projects that have been part of that overall 25-year plan, 30-year plan, that have been on the books for more than 50 years and never been done. But they do have a cost projection, but some of them get looked at more frequently than others. But it wasn't constantly being revisited. And with land acquisition costs and with fuel prices being so volatile over the last decade, I mean, we're, you know, in the mid twos now, but it wasn't that long ago we were almost $5 a gallon at some, you know, approaching that price. And that's a huge driver in the cost of transportation. So I don't think they were taking all those things into consideration. And again, our workforce goes into that. When we enumerated a bridge project in Ozaukee County, that project we were able to do for about half, depending on when we released that project. Mm-hmm. The first time we released it, the Marquette was being done. So all the bridge builders were there. So anybody that bid on that, going to Joe's point of strictly the lowest responsible bidder, may or may not work. But when you bring in and do it through these other delivery methods that Joe's talking about, you can change the entire scope of that project and get a much better project that's really custom fit to that specific need in that area instead of that cookie cutter approach that we seem to take all the time with DOT.
Is the planning, the enumeration, the Transportation Projects Commission process broken? Because you've just said you've had things on the books in your area for decades that haven't been done. So do we need to revise how our major projects statewide, not just in Southeast Wisconsin, are listed and then funded and then hold DOT accountable for hitting those construction deadlines? Is it broken?
I believe it is. And that's truly something we have to look at. And I haven't gone through the bill with Joe in any detail. One of the things I would like to see is we have local control or input on roundabouts. I would like to see that on most major projects above a certain threshold so that we're not putting in that 25-year plan. It could be in the 25-year plan, but not in the 10-year, and certainly not in the 5-year plan for a project the locals don't even embrace. And they're basing it on traffic counts that, quite frankly, are wrong or based on projections. You know, 50 years ago when some of these things were done, or 40 years ago, we had more kids in a household than we have cars. Now it's almost the other way around. The typical family has more cars than they have children. You know, so those traffic projections are changing, and ironically with EAA going on, you know, they're up there showing up, you know, cars that fly now.
Yeah.
So how do you project traffic counts 20 years from now? Right. You know, I think that's difficult.
Right. Joe, you're the lead sponsor in the assembly. Is the goal of this to modernize WSDOT's procedures or to save money? Would this bill eventually save money given the inflation, the high inflation in the highway construction industry?
Yes, I think that, you know, saving money, of course, is on everybody's mind, especially as we're debating the budget right now for the whole department. So that is probably the number one goal of the whole bill, is to use our money more wisely, because by doing that, then we're going to be able to stretch those dollars farther and actually do more projects. But bringing efficiency and modernizing the department is also a very key element here. And sometimes, you know, when we get large agencies, and DOT is a very large agency and very important one, right? I mean, our infrastructure is critical to the economy of our state.
3,400 employees, spending $2.8 billion last year, projecting the governor's budget $3 billion this year. Excuse me.
Yeah. So, you have that size of an agency, it's like turning the aircraft carrier, the old saying goes, right? You don't turn it on a dime. This is the same thing. They've operated the same way with kind of the same focus at the same speed for a very long time. And what we're doing with this bill here is, you know, we're not throwing out new untried radical ideas. Everything in this bill are practices that are put in states all around the country and the federal government, and they're working just fine. So, you know, as humans, we're naturally resistant to change. I think that we're seeing a little bit of that so far from some in the agency and some in the industries that work within DOT. But in the end, we're going to end up with a leaner, more well-run department, which is going to translate into more efficiency and making our dollars go farther on these
projects.
Have
you incorporated recommendations from the leaders of WISDOT and its highway design staff into your bill?
So what we did is took a look at the budget. At the audit, and we worked a lot of the things in the audit that were recommended are taken care of in this bill. And, you know, I just want to backtrack briefly. You talked about the audit, and the focus at the time when the audit came out was that disparity between what the jobs were enumerated at and what the actual costs were, right, which was very important.
Yes.
But I think there were things in that audit that were more alarming to me than just that. For example, the audit pointed out that the DOT was ignoring statutorily required reporting requirements to the legislature and the TPC. When they were doing reports, they were cooking the books. They would put information in one report, but then when they would update it, they might take that information out. And so I think what you've seen was a purposeful attempt by some to really not tell the legislature and the TPC the whole story and what is really going on. And I think that's more alarming to me than anything, is if you have an agency that is willfully misleading the people that they're supposed to be reporting to. You know, when our constituents have problems, they don't call the agency. They call Rob and I and our colleagues and say, you know, why are we spending $3 million to build a roundabout, you know, in an area with 600 people when nobody wants it anyway? And those are the types of things that we're held accountable to. So we want to just bring more accountability back into the agency.
As the assistant majority leader, do you want this package folded into the budget whenever it's adopted?
I do.
You
I
do.
Mean, no ifs, ands, or buts. I would like it in there.
And Senator Fitzgerald has indicated that his team over in the Senate, you may disagree on some other issues, but isn't this package part of what the Senate Republicans announced last week?
Yeah, it is. And we, you know, with any piece of legislation, there's always things that you'd like to tweak or change. So are we there yet? No offense to Representative Sanfilippo, probably not. But most of the things in here have been vetted. They're not new ideas, whether it's the transportation swap idea that Senator Strobel and I put out there. We'd love to take credit for that and say that it was some brilliant windfall, but it was something other states were doing. And DOT studied and said there would be a 20 to 25% savings. So it's not like we're reinventing the wheel here. A lot of these things are DOT study-related, you know, findings, or things that have been discussed and are just, quite frankly, common sense.
So give us a short summary of the swap concept.
So what it is, and a great example is the public works director for Waukesha County, their highway commissioner. She has a perfect PowerPoint where she will show a pile of work paperwork this high versus this high when federal money is involved versus just state and local money, just because of all the added red tape. So what we can do is dedicate all the federal money we have to the mega projects. And we know there's 10 to 15 years worth of mega projects that are staring us in the face right now. So let's take all that federal money, put it there, and get rid of all the burdensome federal regs on some of the smaller projects throughout our counties, cities, and towns.
Is there an estimate of how much eliminating prevailing wage would save, Joe?
I don't
know. Have you heard any that you trust?
Exactly. I mean, we've heard numbers anywhere from 2 to 5%. And I think that's hard to nail that down, because when you talk about labor is a commodity. we happen to be in a time of very low unemployment. You have a lot of work going on, not only in the public sector, but in the private sector. That creates a greater competition for those employees. That really the prevailing wage, I think, is null, because contractors are going to be fighting each other to hire these employees, that those wages are artificially set. So again, you know, that fluctuates based on workload.
And getting rid of prevailing wage, is that the reason that you have no Democratic co-sponsors?
You know, I was really disappointed that we didn't get any Democrats on the bill. We reached out to several of them and talked to them. I mean, this is an issue that, you know, we can disagree on the money side of the equation here, but nobody disagrees that we need to have all of our departments running efficiently. And when the audit came out and just so clearly pointed out desperate needs for reform, you would think that, you know, whether you're conservative or liberal or Democrat, Republican, wherever your philosophy lies, you want to have a well-run department. So it was, you know, very disappointing that we didn't get anybody from the other side of the aisle. But we're still reaching out and hopeful that in the end they'll come and work with us.
As a member of leadership, is it your understanding the governor would support and sign this bill, Representative?
I have not personally talked to the governor. I try and make it a habit of not speaking for him. But these are good, solid reforms that I know he's embraced in the past. And clearly, the governor has led on a number of these initiatives. So I would hope so. You know, and I share Joe's sentiment. I'm greatly disappointed that we don't have more people on the bill, as far as, especially from the Democratic side. I have not, if you go back to any municipality across the state, it would be hard to argue, and it's sometimes hard to attribute what those driving factors are that are bringing prices down, but almost all of my communities are coming in between 10 and 20% lower right now in their projects. Is that strictly removal of prevailing wage from those projects? Is it fuel cost down? It's a number of things. You know, more bidders, but we're talking 10 to 20%. So I can tell you, without attributing more money in this last session to local roads, we're getting 10 to 20% more done on the local level just by changing the rules and the economy coming around.
Joe, talk about the dynamics of laying off 100 design engineers year one and laying off another 100 year two. Do you think private firms can design cheaper than state employees?
I think private firms will design cheaper. They're going to certainly design much quicker, and you have a fixed cost. We hear countless stories of the DOT's in-house engineers taking 3, 4, 5, 6 years to design a project. Well, those costs are incurring the entire time. When you go to the private sector, if Rob's an engineer, and I agree to pay Rob $50,000 to design a job, Rob maybe thinks that it's going to take him 3 months. Well, if it takes him 5 months, guess what? Rob's getting $50,000. So it doesn't matter. It's a fixed cost. It kind of takes the risk away from the taxpayers, puts it onto the private sector, and I think that's why you see, again, that a little bit more accountability, and you're getting these things done quicker.
Let's talk about the provision in the bill for an inspector general. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is there any other state agency that has an inspector general?
We have a similar office over at Department of Health Services.
That's what I thought. That was the only comparison.
Correct.
But your inspector general would be appointed by the Audit Bureau, correct? She or he would have a 6-year term, and explain your understanding of what she or he would do, the IG at DOT.
So this is a great provision that we included in this bill that came from a bill that Senator Craig had introduced earlier. And basically, the Senator Craig has always talked about the fact that, you know, by the time the audit comes and points out all the problems and the inefficiencies, it's after the fact. It's too late. Having an inspector general would prevent some of these things from happening in the first place, just by kind of overseeing things and looking at the instance I brought up before about not doing the required reporting that are statutorily required, or even cooking the books, just looking at the misinformation that's not there. Another thing the audit pointed out is that the Audit Bureau was able to find more than $40 million in job costs that the DOT said they couldn't figure out where this money went. They can't find it. There was no record of it. LAB found it right in DOT's own financial system. So, I mean, it's just, you know, if you have an inspector general there, you've got an extra set of eyes looking over there, making sure folks are doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. And I don't want to tarnish the whole agency, you know, like there's so many problems and nobody over there is doing a great job, because there's thousands of great employees within DOT. But you need a strong captain at the wheel of that ship to steer it right and make sure it stays on course. We didn't have that in the last secretary. I think we have it now with Secretary Ross. And as Rob mentioned before, we're going to give him additional tools to continue to build on those efficiencies he's been working towards.
Rob, you've mentioned roundabouts. That must be an issue in your district that you hear about a lot. Has DOT gone overboard in terms of building roundabouts, sir?
I believe so. And it's very frustrating because right on one stretch of my district, we have several roundabouts right in a row, and neither of the locals wanted it, nor did the highway commissioner. So it was frustrating when we looked at all these costs that were being put in there. I'm not saying they don't have value in certain locations, but when we're putting in bypasses and roundabouts for small communities, you know, we're just over-designing, over-building things. So it's been a huge problem. And like Joe said, when I sat down with Secretary Ross, one of the first things he did was he picked a project. I'm not going to name the project, but he asked some of his key people to enumerate those projects. And those costs varied from, you know, 100 and some million all the way up to 600 million. So I don't blame former Secretary Gottlieb. I don't blame anybody. But I think having the Inspector General makes a big difference because we can get better information. We have a hard time making good decisions based off what the DOT Secretary gives us. And if the DOT Secretary is getting bad information, you know, we're all making poor decisions. So I think it's important to have that inspector in there.
If there isn't an inspector general at DOT, she or he would get some of the complaints that you're now getting. Can each of you give me a generic example of a complaint that you've received and who would then forward to the inspector general in WSDOT? Anything come to mind, Representative?
Well, and I don't want to name specifics, but I can tell you there are projects that we enumerate, we build, we even acquire the land, and those projects never get done. Or when the projects do get done, whether it's a bypass or something, what do we do with that excess land? We don't always take it back. My community just took some, you know, Ozaukee County took some excess land that was acquired for roadway, but now it's excess, and just sold it off for a bunch of money. You know, it didn't come back to DOT. I think it should have, quite frankly, but it went back to the county. It wasn't necessarily the county's money. So sometimes just following up on that when there are new projects, in, you know, it used to be a, you know, diamond interchange or a, you know, a big loop, mm-hmm. you know, and now you get rid of that and put in a straight shot. Well, that opens up a lot of land. What do we do with that land? Or if we have to acquire land? You know, I think the state does a poor job in the day-to-day business of acquiring and purchasing land and when to sell it. So I think having somebody there, an inspector general, that can report back to us.
To look over the shoulder of...
Yeah, and have some accountability, process. And I think it gives the DOT secretary some cover as well to say, your own person is here auditing us, and they didn't catch that. So I think it's a win-win for both sides.
Joe, I remember the public hearing, correct me if I'm wrong, you had a specific issue raised about the type of materials used on the Zoo Freeway. Do you remember?
Yes, it was the Zoo and the Hone Bridge.
Dot, you believe, used and designed and ordered some type of materials that fill us in.
Stainless steel rebar. Rebar is a metal rod they put into concrete to hold it together so it doesn't crack and buckle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they spent on the Hone Bridge, for example, $20 million additional cost to use stainless steel as opposed to the regular epoxy-coated iron rebar that they use. So in December, we had a Transportation Committee hearing. Secretary Gottlieb was there. And I questioned Secretary Gottlieb, well, why did we spend this extra money? And his answer was, the stainless steel rebar will extend the deck life of the concrete. It will extend it to 75 years. So first of all, you have to believe that any concrete in Wisconsin is going to last 75 years with our freeze and thaw cycle. Mm-hmm. But even that aside, that $20 million gave us supposedly 75-year deck life. But the bridge is already 35 years old. The bridge structure itself has 40 years of bridge life left.
I see.
So we have 75-year deck, but a 40-year structure, it just doesn't make sense. And so I think that, again, having an inspector general over there might really kind of take a look at those cost-benefit analysis and say, hey, do we really want to spend this extra money when we know that the bridge structure only lasts 75 years. The Hone Bridge is 35 or 40 years old. We're halfway through the life cycle. So even if that stainless steel is going to make that deck last 75 years, you can't replace the bridge structure without obliterating the deck.
You're both from Southeast Wisconsin. Why should members of your caucus from up north, or 73rd County, which that's what it's been called, why should they support this package?
Because it benefits all of us. When we talk about the alternative delivery methods, local units of government, you know, have done this, especially the local highway departments that actually do their own road work. you're able to go out and do it and decide, do I need, how long, how wide does my shoulder need to be? How wide does this need to be? Is this a regrind and a, you know, all the different methods that are out there, they're able to use a lot of that at the local level, but we're holding up DOT here. And I think when we look at the projections are about a $500 million a year for the next 15 years on these mega projects.
Yes.
If we can save 10, 20% of that, that's money that can go back to the locals. We all understand that we've got a problem here in southeastern Wisconsin that needs to be dealt with. We have an aging infrastructure, massive infrastructure, that's over 50, 60 years old. So anything we can do to bring down the cost expense here, where a major, you know, thoroughfare, most of the business and commerce goes through southeastern Wisconsin, helps everybody. So I think we can drive some of those cost savings down to the locals. So to me, everything in this package makes a lot of sense and helps everybody across the state.
Joe, do you want to comment on the regional issues?
Yeah, and I think
southeast Wisconsin versus up north?
That's important because I've heard of instances where you have a single largest employer in a large area up north, happens to be in the timber area, timber business. In order to get to their plant, there are four bridges that need to be crossed. Three of the four bridges are uncrossable because they're in such bad shape. So this industry has to have their trucks take a way, you know, a long out-of-the-way route because there's only one bridge that they can use. It's costing them hundreds of thousands of dollars each year to be able to do that. That's money that could go back into more jobs in the economy, more spending on their plant. So there is a statewide benefit to making sure that this agency is running as efficiently as possible.
Okay, we're almost out of time, so just a couple more questions. Why is there a provision in the bill saying you local government cannot charge a wheel tax unless it's approved by a referendum? Joe?
I think it goes back just to the whole local control idea, and yet you want to empower citizens as much as possible to have a say.
Okay. Then finally, Mr. Assistant Leader, where are we on the Senate Republicans versus Assembly Republicans? Well, let me ask a specific question. How does your caucus feel about Senate Republicans saying, let's borrow $712 million in the next biennium? Give this agency, which you've raised questions about, $712 million more, sir?
That's troubling to me that the Senate would take that position. I understand their desire to keep projects ongoing and not slow those projects down because we know in construction, time is our worst enemy. I wholeheartedly support that. You know, but when I hear the governor say, we're on track and we can do this, his number was $500 million, and now he's found a couple hundred million more.
Yeah.
He's willing to trade out some of his income tax cuts to get as close to zero. I think that's prudent. So if you're going to argue that DOT's inefficient, and I'll go back to that word again, why would you want to give them more money, especially on the credit card? Now, long term, I don't know what the cost savings of these projects are going to be, because is it 20% off the top? Is it 20% if we do prevailing, you know, we do the transportation swap, and then so you take that 20% off, and then you save 3% of that with state prevailing wage, or is it 3% off the top? That becomes the difficult part when you start throwing about numbers. But to me, we shouldn't be borrowing to do that. Now, I do think once these are done and we have a couple of years to see what happens and see where the economy goes, we may have to look at more transportation money, because we know we have 15 years again of these mega projects that come up once every 50-some years.
Yeah, so. Joe, final question to you. Senator Darling last week said it is, quote, totally unrealistic, close quote, for the Assembly Republicans to insist on no new bonding without new sources of revenue because of the critical mega projects need Zoo Freeway, East-West, and 94 in Racine County, especially with a potential Foxconn. Your response?
So I joined Speaker Voss and the governor with their concern about spending too much on bonding. I mean, in a way, it has kind of been a blessing for us that we don't have this whole budget resolved right now because of Foxconn. As you mentioned, we're going to find out here within the next day or two if they're going to come to Wisconsin, and if so, what are we going to have to do to prepare in order for them to be able to be here? So we also have to be able to have some type of a flexibility to be able to deal with issues like that. But we can't continue to go on and be spending so much money on our transportation on bonding because, you know, we went from 10 cents on the dollar to over 20 cents on the dollar in a very short period of time, and that trajectory is just going up. And again, as Rob mentioned, we just happen to be in a time frame right now where you have a lot of these mega projects need to be completed because the system is aging all at the same time. You know, if we had the luxury to spread that all out over a 30-year or 50-year span, we would be in a much different position, but unfortunately, we don't have that luxury right now. And when the roads have to be rebuilt, they have to be rebuilt.
So when the impasse over transportation funding is broken, we're going to see this DOT reform bill as part of the budget, correct?
I'm not going to say that.
But you'd like to say that.
I would clearly like to see that as part of the budget. I think when we kick the can down the road on any of these initiatives, we're doing a disservice to our taxpayers. We know there's cost savings here. We can argue about the actual percentage or dollar amount, but nobody in their right mind can argue that these are not cost-saving measures. So it's hard for me to go back to my district or go speak in Joe's district or any other district and say I've done everything we can to get DOT aligned in a better business model without giving them more money. We know we may have to give them more money at some point, but I think we have to do this sooner rather than later.
You're the sponsor of this bill. Do you vote for a budget that doesn't have your package in it, Representative?
You know, I don't like to draw lines in the sand on anything. It's just not my style because I think, you know, in the end, we work for the absolute best package that we can get. I think it's very likely that many of these items will be in the budget. Maybe some of ideas are not that are going to need a little more work on. You know, we've got 37 Assembly Republicans and 11 senators that have signed on to this bill. So aside from, you know, we have differences on the money side, but we're all united on this side. And with that, there's a lot of ideas. I mean, every day people are contacting our office with, hey, maybe we should do this, maybe we should do this. There's a lot of good ideas coming in here yet. So, I mean, this is an omnibus bill. It's definitely a work in progress. I'm going to take these reforms any way I can get them. As long as we get the reforms, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I'm tempted to ask when you gentlemen predict we'll get a budget, but I don't think you really know. So
no, we don't know.
Understand.
I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. I think we're in a good spot. I was glad to see the governor come out with his proposal a couple weeks ago. Now it's going to come down to, you know, personal property tax repeal and a few other issues, but that's all tied in directly with transportation and other funding. And yep. Foxconn, certainly, whether we get that or not in the next 48 hours, we'll know.
That's kind of a wild,
significant,
kind of a wild card.
It's more than a little wild card.
Yeah. It's an expensive
Trump
wild card,
yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Representative Robert Brooks, Representative Joe Sanfilippo, thanks very much for talking about a very important issue.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.